I know a lot of people like that. Their life is a mess, and you or I could help them out, but they won't listen because they think they've got it figured out. It absolutely amazes me. The more their life is messed up, the more they think they've got it figured out. And that's a stronghold in their mind. And so they're unteachable. Look at what the Bible says. Turn to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18 tonight. Of course, it's 2 Corinthians 10:5. 10:4 and 5, that says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and bringing every thought of knowledge of God and bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. So we have to pull those strongholds down. I'm not going to get into it, and I'll have to finish this up next week, but I want you to understand another stronghold is the stronghold of unforgiveness. And I've got several things that I want to look at, but tonight I'm just going to kind of lay the groundwork because when you don't forgive, you end up with a really, really major problem because you end up with somebody against you that you do not want against you. And who would that be? Yeah, you end up with God against you. So look at what, I'm going to just read a couple of verses here, and for lack of time, I will tell you the story. And I just want you to understand that that God loves you and that God is even willing to do this. Have you ever heard of the saying, tough love? You know, I know some people who sometimes, you can be too tough, I'm sure, but you can also be not, you cannot not be tough enough. I know a lot of parents who every time their kids get in trouble, they bail them out. Now, there may be a time to bail them out. I know my uncle, his son, my cousin, got put in jail one time, and my uncle went down and he did bail him out, but he told him two things. Now, he worked for my uncle. He said, I'm taking so much out of your check until it's paid back. And he said, I want you to understand something. I'm never doing this again. And if you don't believe me, just try it. So, and listen, I believe we ought to help them out one time maybe, you know, just be prayerful about it. But we need to make sure that we understand this matter of forgiveness. The Bible says this in 34, and the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So whatever's happening here, and I'll tell you the story in just a minute. Whatever was happening here, the Lord was wroth with them, and this wasn't the Lord God. This was in a parable. It was another story. And he delivered him to the tormentors. Now notice what the Bible says. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. Now, as we think about this tonight, I'm going to ask you some questions that I'm pretty sure most of our church is familiar with. But number one, who are we to forgive? Are we to forgive when they ask it? We should have already forgiven, have we not? You know? and here's a question. I love this in counseling session. Almost everybody gets it wrong. Do people deserve forgiveness? People do not deserve forgiveness. We don't forgive them because they deserve it. Why do we forgive them? We forgive them because what God has done for us and it benefits us. Listen, if somebody robbed from you and they took what you had and sold it and you could never get it back and it was special to you and they ask you to forgive them, yes, we're to forgive them, but not because they deserve it, because of what Christ had done for us. I was seeing a news clip. I didn't click on it. I meant to, and had to leave. But there was a news clip, and the picture was a guy in a courtroom, and he was hugging this guy. And the caption underneath it said, Father hugs the man who killed his son and said he forgave him. Would that not be one of the most difficult things in the world to do, is to forgive someone who took one of your loved ones? But should they forgive them? Yes. Is he going to get his loved one back? But he's not forgiving him because he deserves it. He's forgiving for the Lord. Now, let me tell you the story, and we'll pray, and I'll give you just a few things tonight to think about. But in the story, there was a man in the beginning of our parable. There was a man who owed a bunch of money to someone. And the Bible says in verse number 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which taketh account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed 10,000 talents. Now, I don't have the number tonight. I could have looked it up. But basically, what I've studied says that would be more than $1 million. If I owe you $1 million, you're in trouble. One thing about it, as long as I owe it to you, somebody owes you $1 million. But do you know what the odds are of you getting paid $1 million? It's just not going to happen. Well, I'll tell you when it's going to happen. My son, Rock, has informed me that when he grows up, he's going to be a billionaire. Rock, will you pay off my $1 million bet when you become a billionaire? He got it. There we go. So all you got to do is wait for Rock to grow up, become a billionaire, and he will pay that off. But he owed a lot of money. And he was brought before the man who he owed it from. And the man, when he was brought before that man, what he was going to do was he was going to have him, commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. Now, when they were taught, you know, they were going to be placed probably in debtor's prison. And debtor's prison in that day was the place that you went and you would work. And I've talked about this before. You would work until the debt was paid off. Everything would be sold. He would have absolutely nothing. And the servant, in verse number 26, the servant therefore fell down, worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And in verse number 27 says, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. You know what, man, isn't it great to be forgiven a debt? I won't go into detail, but I've told you the time when I owed that one people $5,000 when Noah was born. And it was a company because an anesthesiologist was put on hold. He had to be there for all of the hours, and it was on a weekend. And so we had to pay him overtime hours all night for him to be there. We didn't use him. We didn't need him, but because of a certain law, it had to happen. About a year after Noah was born, I found out I owed them $5,000. And I told the lady, I said, look, we pay our debts, but this was unexpected. I said, here's what I can do. I said, I can send you $500, and I will. Me and my wife will sit down, we'll budget what we can send you monthly. And they asked me, they said, send the $500 and then send a note explaining what happened. So I sent the note explaining what happened and all that stuff, and I got a phone call from a lady, and here's her exact words. She said, is this Pastor Evans? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you don't know how blessed you are. And I thought, who is this crazy lady? And I said, well, I'm pretty blessed. She says, told me the company she was calling for, and she says, I'm in an office with over 200 people in this office. And she said, to the best of my knowledge, I am the only Christian in this office. And she said, your letter hit my desk. And she said, I read that letter, and I was so moved. And I went in and talked to my supervisor, and we've just decided that $500 could be considered paid in full. Woo! I thanked her. I was and called Deborah, and we were praising God. Man, when you're forgiven a debt, that is an absolutely amazing thing. Now, he was forgiven a debt. You know, when I'm forgiven a debt, it makes me want to be more compassionate to other people. But this man went out, and what did he do? He found somebody who owed him a little, the Bible says 100 pence. You know, that would be like $75 or something. And the man could not afford to pay. And what did he do? The Bible says he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Man, that guy didn't learn anything, did he? Now, this is a parable, but to be truthful, have you ever known this story to come out? Maybe not to the degree it was in here. But I know people who have been forgiven a lot of things. Listen, I gave a guy something one time. He needed it. He didn't have any money, and I gave it to him. And it was something nice, and it was worth some money and stuff, but I gave it to him. And about 6 months later, I found him trying to sell it to a guy who needed it every bit as bad as he did, and he didn't need it now, but he wouldn't give it to him. He was going to sell it to him and make money. Is that not the same thing? You know? But anyway, he had been forgiven, but he would not forgive. And then, of course, the Lord found out about it, and the Bible said he was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all. And the Bible says, so shall likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts you forgive not everyone his trespasses. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time tonight, but I want you to know there are a lot of people who are living a tormented life because they will not forgive. There's a lot of things that happened to us that we don't want to forgive. I really enjoyed the song service tonight. I hope you did. And finding out why people love songs. My wife loves the songs Day by Day. And I love that song Day by Day because the truth of the matter is that song sings tested and tried. It even says tormented, I think, in one place. You know, we need a great Savior. And so I know as I go through life, I'm going to be tormented. But Jesus is there to deliver me from that, to strengthen me through that. But if you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart tonight toward anybody and you don't forgive them, God will turn you over to the tormentors. How do you think tormented people act? They do crazy stuff. And we wonder, why are they doing that? Why are they acting that way? Why do they think that? Why do they do that? Because they're turned over to the tormentors. There are people in this room. I happen to know some people in this room tonight, and some of them very close to me, that have issues that is very, very hard for them to deal with. A lot of times it may be just one person or a couple of people in your life, and man, you have, listen, every time you forgive them, you know what they do? They do something evil. You're like, I just got them forgiven, and now they've done this, and I didn't like forgiving them then, and I don't like forgiving them now. Listen, you ever known anybody that liked to forgive? You know, I don't wake up in the morning and go, boy, I hope somebody messes with me today so I can forgive them. It just doesn't happen that way. But as I go through the day, I understand that somebody, there's a good chance somebody's going to do something to me, and I've got a choice right then. I can choose to forgive them, or I can choose not to forgive them. And if I choose not to forgive them, I understand God's going to turn me over to the tormentors. Now, I want to say this just from practical experience. I don't think He turns you over to the tormentors right away. I think He gives you a little bit of time. Because if you're like me and somebody does something bad to me, initially I get real mad. And you know the Bible says that when we're angry, we give place to the devil. So I got to spend a little bit of time doing just what the devil wants me to do, and then God gets a hold of me. I don't think He turns you over right away. I really was wondered what this was. But do you know in the Bible what is called tormentors? In the Scripture, do you know what is referred to as tormentors? Demons, devils, are referred to as tormentors. So I really believe what God does is He turns you over to the tormentors. He lets Satan have his way with you. Now, does God do that to drive you away from Him? What would be the purpose of God turning you over to the tormentors? He's trying to bring you back. I struggled with that for a long time, and I'll close with this in just a minute. But years ago, Brother Souter to me has just been a real help to me in this matter of bitterness and forgiveness, and he's just been a tremendous help to me. And One day I said, Brother Souter, you know, I had read some stuff he had written, and I said, I just don't understand when God turns us over to the tormentors. I said, I looked up the word tormentors in my Strong's Concordance and found a place where the Bible said, it's referred to the demons. I said, God turns me over to the devils to torment me? And I said, I just don't understand that. Why would He do that? And he gave the illustration, and the illustration was of a sheepdog. And that helped me so much. Do sheep like sheepdogs? If you think they do, just turn on a video, you know. You know what sheepdogs do? They go out and nip at their heels, and instead of getting to do what they want to do, the sheepdogs make them do something else. Now, sheep hate the sheepdog. But how do they feel about the shepherd? They love the shepherd, don't they? And the goal of the sheepdog is to get them to do what the shepherd wants to do, and it may even be to bring them back to the shepherd. So the reason God sends them out to torment you is to bring them back. Now, let me explain to you. If you're here tonight and you feel like you are being tormented, it is possible you could, but I'm a saved person. Hey, God, that's who God torments, saved people, but not because He's angry with you, not because He hates you, because He loves you enough that He's trying to bring you back to that place where He is. And you know where God is? You know the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, written to Christians, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if you've wronged God tonight, He's ready to forgive you. How quick? That quick. He's ready to forgive you. And you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to be ready to forgive people. Now, if you don't forgive, we know that bitterness sets up in your life. And we're going to talk about that some next week. The song service, I really didn't know that the song service would go as long as it was tonight. So I'm not going to go any further. But I would like you to know tonight, if you're suffering from some torment in your life, and you just feel like you can't get away from it, check your life out, because is it easy to find bitterness in your life? The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any root of bitterness. You have to look diligently. Do you have to look diligently for something that's easy to find? It's always funny. Do this. Here's an experiment you can do. You know, find somebody that's really bitter and tell them, I think I know what your problem is. and then tell them they're bitter. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to go, I am not bitter. Okay, I missed that. I wished I could tell you how many times I've told people, I said, I know what your problem is. Your problem is bitter. I can't believe you would say that to me. You know? And really, here's the problem. They don't think they're bitter. They can't see it. You know what you have to do? You have to evaluate yourself according to the Word of God. And then you can find that bitterness in you. And that bitterness is a root. And you'll never kill it until you what? Get rid of that root. And we'll talk about that next week. But if you're here, listen, if you're here and are suffering from some tormentation, you say, I've got to wait all week. No, call me. I'll help you out, you know. We'll sit down. We'll talk one-on-one that. But we're glad you're here tonight. We're going to stand with our heads bowed and eyes